I'm often humbled and I feel like I'm walking on holy ground when I'm working with people. It's given me a lot of desire to keep studying and growing and learning. And personal testimonies are very powerful as you sit with people and hear their story. I hope that you are prepared when given the opportunity to share your testimony. And our testimony is quite literally our story, the narrative of our life. Some of our lives are a bit longer than others. And so if John shared his story, it might take a bit longer than some of the other people in our lives. But our testimony is an amazing place where we get to see and encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ and learn about how he was in the scriptures prophesied that he would come, take our sin on his shoulders so that we would believe in him and would find eternal life as we joyfully surrender ourselves and follow where he leads us. And I hope you're ready and willing to share your testimony whenever God gives you an opportunity. I wish I could always say that I've responded well when the Lord's given me an opportunity. But I have had chances to share my testimony in 5 minutes, 15 minutes, or even 30 minutes. Sometimes even 60 minutes if the Lord gives you an opportunity that long. It's amazing. And sometimes it's even one line of testimony, one sentence out of our story that we can share when we're riding an elevator. I know my brother over here, Ivan's really good at that. Sharing one line or two lines when God gives him an opportunity. And I'm so thankful for his passion for doing that. In 2016, I would submit to you that a good exercise is to write out the story of your life in a form that works for you. Some would like to draw pictures. For you artsy people, draw your life in pictures. Others, you're going to use props of different kinds that describe the seasons of your life sentence by sentence. Or write it out for you writers. It's a chance to share your testimony with others. I hope you then, after you prepare your story, share it with somebody else in the congregation. And it's an encouragement to hear each other's stories. Our text this morning is a testimony from Paul. The apostle, as he is in jail, and he's standing on trial before King Agrippa. It's his story, his life, and how the Lord met him. And soon he'd be under, after this, he'll be on his way to Rome where he will spend the last days of his life. And thank you, Jeremy, for reading the scripture this morning. Let's pray, and we'll get into the word. Thank you, God, for this powerful testimony of you working in the life of your servant Paul, or Saul, before he was changed his name to Paul. Thank you for each of us who know you, that we have our own unique testimony, and nobody can take this story away from us. Thank you that you want to continue to be, you want us to be transformed. Come guide my speaking this morning, Jesus. Thank you for this freedom that we have in Canada to gather together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul has a unique and amazing testimony. It's incredible. He's on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and he gets knocked off his horse or onto the ground by a blinding light and spoken to in a way that he will never forget. He doesn't know Christ at this point, but he is a pagan he thinks he's following God by rounding up Christians, getting them to jail, and then off to killing or slaughter. We see right in Paul's testimony the beautiful teaching of how God transforms our lives as Christians. It's the cycle of transformation that I want to share with you this morning. It's very interesting for me to note that Paul received a call into ministry the same day that the Lord broke into his life. In verse 16, you'll see in verse 16, God says to him, "But rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen and to those in which I will appear to you." God called him the same day that he broke into his life and gave him revelation. What an amazing thing. Now, the first truth I want to share with you in the cycle of transformation is right there at the beginning of the text. This breaking in. We need our eyes opened. We need revelation. We need the truth of God revealed in our lives. And Paul was in darkness, And in this revelatory act, God broke into his life and brought truth. And I think all of us are in that boat, are we not? We all need the truth of revelation to come into our lives. And right in the text, in verse 14, you'll notice, it is clear that God spoke to Paul in the Hebrew dialect, or the Aramaic language. And I love this truth, that God wants to communicate in a way that makes sense to you in your heart language. Amen? God wants to talk to you. And that's why it's so important to translate the Bible into the unreached languages that are left in the world. And I'm so grateful for my brother and sister at Wycliffe who are sharing their lives and helping that to happen. Revelation needs to come to all men and all women. Last night at Kids on Track, I had the joy of meeting a single mom from Siberia, and I spoke Russian with her, and it was fun. I surprised her and shocked her, actually. And God speaks her heart language. By the way, she says it's colder in Siberia than Edmonton. I also want to be clear that if there are any Aboriginal Canadians here this morning, God speaks to you in your heart language. You do not have to learn English to know God. Isn't that a good truth? Any language and heart background that you come from, God wants to speak to you in your native heart language. He did it to Paul. He can do it to you and me. Thanks be to God. Further on in the text, in verse 14, it's the phrase, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." For some of you, that's a foreign word, actually. It's an old English word. And a goad is an old English term that is used by ranchers or farmers as a sharp instrument to poke animals to help drive them in a certain direction. If you've been out in the range, sometimes animals don't cooperate and you have to goad them on. Okay? It doesn't always have to be sharp. When I was in college, I helped lead 100-mile trail rides at a camp in Montana. And I remember a cowboy I knew at camp. He used a 2x4 piece of lumber to communicate to a horse that it needed to go somewhere that it didn't want to go. And the cowboy used a 2x4. One commentator commenting on this part of Scripture says, maybe Ecclesiastes 12, verse 11, "The words of the wise are like goads," come to his mind. To change the metaphor, the word of the Lord has kept growing and spreading like wildfire, especially in the time of persecution. Paul was instrumental in the persecution. And those who try to stamp it out simply sent more sparks into the wind to ignite hearts in many more places. Paul learned, as anyone does who consistently says no to the faith, that it takes work to resist the truth of the gospel and the life of the Spirit. Unquote. I would submit to you that God, in this scripture on "it's hard for you to kick against the goads," I would submit that God is saying to Saul, "Are you done going your own way? The way you're going is very hard. Are you ready to listen?" I hope and pray that the revelation of truth doesn't have to smack you up at the side of the head. Amen? Some of us are stubborn, and we have to learn through the school of hard knocks, and truth comes in with the force of a 2x4 at sometimes, or a sharp stick. I would pray and submit to you that God is saying to you, brothers and sisters, are you done having it your own way? Are you ready to hear what God has to say? In verse 15, Paul asks, "Who are you, Lord?" And he answers, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Millions today are asking the same question. Who are you, Lord? They have not met Jesus. They have not necessarily rejected Christ. Mostly, they have never met it. They've never met him. They've never been introduced to him. The next part of the passage I love is my need to repent and believe the gospel. Here in the passage, verse 18, well, let's go into from 15. "And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by life, by faith in me. This whole idea of turning from darkness to light, I'm reminded from Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The Bible is pretty clear that repentance and believing the gospel go together. I have a really amazing story to share from a dear friend. In our families, we have to live the gospel. And this is his story. They had been having a terrible time in their family because there was a water leaking in their house through the ceiling. They couldn't find where it was coming from. They had scoured the house looking for the source where this water drip and leak was coming from. They had gone up, down, on the roof, everywhere. They even hired a contractor to come in and help find where the leak of this water was coming from. And even another time, it happened again, and my friend even ripped out tile in the bathroom and made an amazing mess. Then one day, in conversation with his son, it came out that his young son, for months, had taken great delight in pouring cups of water down the heating pipes of the house and had kept quiet in the chaos that ensued after that it had been discovered. My friend, naturally, as a father, was very angry. God spoke to him. He said to him, remember the gospel in your response to your son. So he led his son in a process of confession. Revelation had to happen. The revelation, this is wrong, son. Stop repenting. Go ahead and repent. Stop pouring water down the heating pipes of the house. And then he had to work out with his dad godly and proper discipline and restitution. And he worked with his son, helping repair the mess in the bathroom and the tile and all of the other things. So we have to live the gospel even in our families, don't we? Amen? Because we encounter sin everywhere, imperfections where we fall short. We need to turn from darkness to light, embrace the revelation of truth, repent of our brokenness, and then learn new habits for the future. Turning from darkness to light is in verse 18. Turn from the power of God, the power of Satan to God, forgive me, and then receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. Revelation has to come, which leads to repentance, which is a literally turning from one way and going the other way. Okay, another personal story. I believe I was 11 years old when I was caught stealing, shoplifting candy, snacks of various different kinds. I received strong revelation of truth when the store manager came down with his hand on my shoulder, right in the middle of the act, and found me with all kinds of stuff under my bulky coat. I can still remember the moment of panic of being caught. I had fear put right into me, and I immediately repented, stopped my sinful habits that I had formed before, during, and after the stealing. And I also quit being friends with somebody after that, as well as we had urged each other on in our sinful behavior. We had not been good for one another and encouraged each other in our sinful behavior, and that relationship had to end. I am sad to report in my testimony that repentance of outward behavior did not necessarily drive me closer to Christ. That came a little bit later in my testimony. But I did receive a powerful lesson of doing a U-turn, going one direction and then all of a sudden doing a U-turn and going the opposite direction. So that's number two, our second point of our cycle of revelation. How does God grow the soul? A, he brings revelation and truth. Truth encounter. Our lives need to have our eyes opened. Then we need to repent, where we need to change direction of our lives. And then thirdly, we need to make restitution. Okay, in verse 20, let's read together. But kept declaring both to those in Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. Now, what is restitution? Well, I think it's right in the text. Performing deeds appropriate to repentance. We have to show that we have changed our lives. It answers, so if you have stolen, you need to stop and pay back the people whom you have stolen from. This is part of learning new habits to replace the old and evil habits in our lives. Restitution. Learning new habits is amazingly difficult. Amen? Especially if old evil habits are deeply in place in our lives. I have many friends who have been in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it is part of the Alcoholics Anonymous is getting social support to change all of your habits around alcohol, to have new habits, and to having a sponsor to encourage you and to support you in every way, in every step of the way. Part of this is through making amends or peace or restitution with everybody whom you have offended or sinned against. Now, as a child, I did not repay the equivalent of what I stole, but I probably should have. The store manager demanded that my restitution was that I made sure that if I ever came into that store again, that I had money in my pocket and that I paid for whatever I had. Because he promised, I will ask you. That scared me for the rest of my life. And that ended my career of stealing. Praise God. We need to learn new patterns of life. Amen? We need to embrace the new to let go of the old. This is never easy and something where we will always need the social support of our family, true friends, and people who believe in you. Now, when we were living overseas and working as workers in Kyrgyzstan, I was often praying for my national friends to know Christ, to come to the gospel, to be transformed as a result. And God did an amazing thing in me and kept reminding me that I need to keep embracing the truth. I need to repent of my sin, and I need to keep developing healthy, holy patterns in my life. How can I expect my Kyrgyz friends to do it if I'm not doing it? It's a very humbling experience to recognize that we need it for the rest of our lives. In application, our pride gets in the way so very often in our cycle and how God grows the soul. The first obvious way is that when the truth or revelation comes into our lives by a friend, or from reading scripture, hearing a sermon, or on the radio or TV, wherever, revelation can come from many different places, we can simply react in the inside and say, I don't want this. I put up, this isn't for me. I reject this. Maybe it's good for you, but it's not for me. Maybe you're here today and you're like that. You're rejecting the revelation of God in your life. Another way that pride gets in the way is when we start to repent and we say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and admit to our sin, but draw deeply into ourselves and then never do anything about it and never develop new ways of living or new habits. A pattern of, I'm sorry, please forgive me, results with no real change to speak of. This is also pride. In either case, pride separates us from the gospel and the freedom that God wants us to have and to live in. This morning, I pray that you can answer the question, who are you, Lord Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is this morning? Would you like to? Walking with Jesus Christ is the most astonishing journey that will keep us growing for the rest of our lives. We're never done. For us who do know Jesus, has he been shining the light of revelation of truth into our lives? Are you rejecting his revelation this morning? I'm praying that you will open the way for Christ to bring healing to you. As I surrender and say, Jesus, I want to be whole and healthy, please come in and do your work. I observe in my life and in others, when we reject the revelation of God, we often stay spiritually immature and we plateau in our spiritual lives. And how do we do this? We always find excuses not to read God's word for ourselves. We find excuses not to pray. We find excuses to not have Christian fellowship with others. This means never sharing our testimony with others because we don't want to feel uncomfortable. We don't like to squirm or be uncomfortable. I submit, my friends, that walking in the light with Jesus will always reveal our dark secrets, whether you're ready or not. The light comes on, the darkness has to flee. Then there's usually a group of us who have been defeated on our own strength from trying to change. Have you said, sorry, I will change, for years? There is hope for you today, too. Change and transformation is not a one-and-done process. I pray that you will find support, caring community here at Fellowship Baptist Church. People to pray with you and support you as you build new habits and patterns of living for the future. And if you're suffering from addiction, or someone you know is suffering from a sinful addiction, I hope that you find community here, people to support and love you and care for you. I want you to remember the cycle of transformation this morning. How does God grow the soul? God's revelation of truth needs to open our eyes. We have the choice to receive his truth or rebel and not receive it. Repentance and believing the gospel go together as receive correction. Am I believing and surrendering to the gospel today? Then restitution is the need to bring forth true change with God's help, as the scripture says, fruit in keeping with repentance. Apple trees bring forth apples. Diseased limbs of an apple tree need to be cut away. Old patterns of the flesh need to die. And what are the results of the ongoing cycle of transformation in my life? I'm humbled by the knowledge that being reinforced that I'm not better than anybody else. Pastors, missionaries, seminary students are all on the same journey of transformation that the rest of us are. I, as a husband and father, must be okay with saying to my family, I've sinned against you and I overreacted. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Then I need to live out the fruit of new habits and seek clarification and good questions before jumping to wrong conclusions. Let's be quick to respond when revelation comes. If you're a son today, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, or a grandfather, or a grandmother, it doesn't matter. Revelation has to come and we need to open our lives to it and receive it. Secondly, in ministry, I can't expect people to implement change that I'm not doing in my life. Transformation of character, habits, and patterns of thinking is incredibly difficult. Only a true disciple of Christ can disciple another. It's very easy in families for children to know if their parents have a vibrant faith because they see it being lived out in front of them by their parents. And I would ask that you pray for your elders who lead your church, that we will lead you in a pattern of revelation, repentance, and restitution in front of you, because we cannot lead this from the back. But we got to lead it from the front. I do want to report to you all and thank God for the collaboration, the humility, and the joyful spirit that I am experiencing on the elders team this morning. Please keep praying for us. Let the change begin and let it begin with me. Your elders want to be those kind of leaders, but we need help from God to keep changing and being transformed. And finally, my worship for God and thankfulness wells up in me as I experience that He doesn't let me go and is so gracious and loving and generous in my life. Let's go to prayer. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you this morning that you want to be known. You want to know us. And we pray that if anybody is here who doesn't know you, that your love and grace will open their eyes in hearts this morning. Thank you that you are in the business of reconstructing our lives. You bring truth And I thank you that you have changed me and transformed me to think and live differently than I used to. And I pray for anybody here who may be fighting your revelation in their lives. I pray that your love will convince them to surrender to the truth of your word and open their hands and their heart to you. Help us to bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. I want to live new habits and ways to live that bring you glory in my life. Jesus, help me to confess my sin to a brother or sister who can help me and to walk with me and encourage me. In Jesus' name, amen.